Philippians chapter 3, which is a very, very familiar portion of Scripture to nearly everyone in here. Philippians chapter 3, one of my favorite passages. Philippians 3, now just a word of background on this. The Apostle Paul wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is God's Word. But he used the Apostle Paul to write this, and Paul was writing this from prison. He was in prison. And this is not too long before he was beheaded, before they cut his head off for preaching the gospel. So these are truly the dying words of a dying man. So it makes it pretty important that we ought to pay close attention. He says, finally. Finally. It's all said and done. Finally, he says, my brethren, speaking to believers, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. Rejoice in Him. Let Him be your cause for rejoicing. Many people get excited over and think they have much joy and happiness in many things, don't they? Family, friends, and things of this world, people in religion rejoice over their experience or their denomination, their church, their this and that. But he says, believers rejoice in Him. And that's what believers do. They rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is their cause for rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul reminds us that over and over again, doesn't he? In another place, not far after that, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Finally. In the end. Now, Paul had lost everything. He's sitting in a prison cell. He's about to have his head cut off. Everybody's left him. What's he going to rejoice in? The Lord. As Brother Scott said, if Christ is all you got, then He's all. And so he says here, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, to write the same things to you, to me, indeed, of a truth, is not grievous. To write the same things to you. Now, the apostle wrote many letters. You can count on that he did not write just one letter to people at Philippi or people at Thessalonica, but this is all the Lord saw fit to record, all that was needed, right? Evidently, he wrote them several times. He preached to them. So he says, to write the same thing. I wrote you before, or I preached to you before, and now here I am writing you again. What am I going to say? I'm just the same thing I already said. He said, to me, indeed, of the truth, it's not grievous. Not grievous to me. It's not tiresome to me. You think if anybody gets tired of telling the same old thing, it's a fellow that keeps telling it. Right? You know, Paul said, it's not grievous to me. You know, once you've heard a sovereign grace preacher once, you've heard him 1,000 times. And any gospel preacher you've heard, he sounds like all the rest. Why? They're all preaching the same one. same message, right? Paul said, I'm determined. In his letter to the Corinthians, he said, I'm determined by God's grace. He caused me to see Christ as all, and so I'm determined not to know anything else, not to preach anything else, not to be taken up with anything or anyone else save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So he says here, to write the same things, not grieving. Brother Williams here said, when he asked the text for tonight, he said, I've heard that preached over 100 times. He said, and he added this. He said, but every time I think I hear something new, and I enjoy it each time even more. So Paul says it's not grievous to me. And you know, that's one proof that the gospel is the gospel. That the Word of God has indeed been revealed to you. Is that you can hear the same thing. Same words, Deborah. I'm going to say when Brother Bruce Crabtree gets up here, when Brother Charles Pennington gets up here, when Todd Nybert gets up here, Henry Mahan's going to be here, by the way. Not this Sunday, but the next one. He's going to say the same thing. That's where I got what I got. Same thing. We're going to tell the same old illustration. But one proof that it is indeed the gospel of God is you can hear it over and over and over again, and it's still brand new. Same message, but it's news. It's good news. It's like it's brand new. All over. That's proof, isn't it? To those whom the gospel has not been revealed, they'll tire of it eventually. Right, Joe? They'll get tired of it. It'll cease to be good news, and they'll go looking for some new thing. But Paul says to write the same thing to me. Indeed, it's not grievous. And he says, for you, it's safe. It's safe. It's salvation. Salvation. Safe. All right, so he says, then he gives a warning here, verse 2. A parting word of warning here. Beware of dogs. Now, he's not saying, watch out for Doberman Pinscher. The dogs he's talking about here are in pulpits. I want you to look at it with me. Isaiah chapter 56. And I get a kick out of this every time I read it. Isaiah 56. Beware of dogs. Dogs. What kind of dogs is he talking about here? Well, they wear collars. Some of them wear collars. Clerical collars, they call them. Look at here in Isaiah 56, and this is where he got it. In verse 10, he says, his watchmen are blind, or those who are supposed to be God's watchmen, or preachers, or prophets, they're blind. They can't see. They don't see the glory of God in the face of Christ, or they'd preach Him, wouldn't they? Huh? Someone made that comment tonight. If a man really seen Christ, Christ is it all he'll preach, won't he? That's exactly right, buddy. Didn't Peter say, we can't help but speak the things we've what? Seen and heard. Well, what did he say? Peter said, we beheld His glory. John says, that which we've seen. Who? Life. Christ. Man seeing Christ, he'll be totally taken up with Him from then on, and He'll be his message. Right? Well, they're blind, though. They haven't seen His glory. And if a man could devote a whole hour on abortion, he has not seen the glory of Christ. Why not just say in one short sentence, abortion's wrong, and then go on to preach Christ? Isn't that enough said? Well, his watchmen are blind. Read on. They're all ignorant. Didn't Christ look at those Pharisees and say, you do err not knowing the Scripture? Didn't it? You don't know the Scripture. Why, they could quote whole books of it. They knew the Bible. You can quote the whole Bible if you will, and if you don't see Christ in it, you don't know the Bible. Right? Ignorant of the Word which speaks of Christ. They're all, look at this, here it is. This is where it got. They're dumb dogs. You wonder what that DD behind a man's name means? That's what it means, not that. That's where it came from. You believe that? Yes, it is. John didn't have it behind his name. Peter didn't have it behind his name. Paul didn't have it behind his name. Huh? Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew. Uh-uh. They didn't have it behind their name. Isaiah didn't have it behind his name. Balaam may have. I know there's some men, some fairly good men who had it, but they were wrong. Right? D.D., supposed to be Doctor of Divinity. There's one great physician. I like what Brother Terry Worthen one time said. Somebody jokingly called him Dr. Worthen. He said, Doctor. He said, I'm not even a good practical nurse. Don't call me doctor. Don't call me reverend. Didn't we read there in Psalm 111, verse 9, whose name is reverend? His name. Holy and reverend is his name. Don't call me holy. Don't call any man holy. Don't call any man father. Don't call any man reverend. Certainly don't call any woman reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. Nobody is to be revered but Christ. We're all just sinful flesh. Holy and reverend, dumb dogs. That's what he called, and Paul said, beware of them. Kind that wear collars and have that initial behind their name. Beware of them. You say you ought not to poke fun. Isaiah did, didn't he? Paul did. He said, beware of dogs. I read on. Beware of the evil workers. Who's that? Well, that's the drug pushers. That's the drug dealers. That's the harlots and so forth. Well, those are evil workers, and I don't condone that sort of thing, and I'm against them too, and I think you ought to, well, let's go on. Those are evil workers, but that's not the evil workers that he's talking about here. Do you remember over in Matthew 7 where the Lord said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, many will say unto thee at that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils in thy name, and done many wonderful works in thy name, in the name of Jesus? Prophesied, cast out devils, done a lot of good works in the name of Jesus. Didn't he say that? Many will say that, and he will say, depart from me, ye what? Workers of iniquity. Evil workers. Well, how could you call preaching in Jesus' name and casting out devils in Jesus' name and prophesying and doing wonderful works in Jesus' name? How could you call it evil work? I didn't. Christ did. But how we could is Christ said they come in their own names. They come in their own names. They got their name splashed everywhere, you know, just the headlines everywhere. It's obvious. Man come in his own name. He's an evil worker. He does it for filthy lucre, for his own name, not for the glory of God. When John the Baptist came, they asked him his name. He wouldn't even tell him his name. Would he? They asked him for his credentials. He said, I'm just a voice. Didn't they? Now there's a man, and Christ said there's never been a man greater than John the Baptist. Beware of these evil workers. Read on. Beware of the concision. Excuse me. Now concision here, he's talking about circumcision of the Jews. The Jews that looked religious. They acted religious. They talked religious. Beware of, he said. They're whited sepulchres. That's what the Lord said. They're white. They look good on the outside. And he said within, They're full of extortion and excess. That's the word. That's the words of the Lord Himself. Of the concision. You know, and I say this emphatically and without apology, that anybody who has to flaunt their Christianity or has to put all this stuff all over themselves to show people that they're a believer, they're not. That's no different than making bald your phylactery, like the Lord said of the Pharisees. You know, they made, you know what that, the phylacteries were to show what holy men they were. They wore scripture verses. That's what they do. They had little bracelets and things full of scripture verses that they, and wore them on their head. And the holier you were, the more you had of these things on you. Now, like we've said, bumper stickers all over cars or T-shirts and all that stuff. The more of that stuff you do on the outside. Christ came, the Son of God. How are we going to know He's the Son of God? Just listen to Him. Just observe Him. Wear a sign. Wouldn't run around telling everybody, was it? Huh? Oh, no. All right, so he said, beware of this concision. And now listen to this. Circumcision, this is important. Over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2, and Galatians chapter 5, or verse 3 here, he says, we're the circumcision. He talks about circumcision. Now this right here will tell you that religion, true religion, is not outward. True religion is not seen, per se, but it's hidden. It's on the inside. Circumcision was a hidden thing. Nobody knew you were circumcised. Huh? Nobody knew you were circumcised. God did. Huh? Who knew it? Who knew who God's people were? God did. Huh? They didn't go around flaunting their circumcision. Did they? No. And Romans and Galatians both say circumcision's of the heart. Of the heart. It's an inward thing. And this is what Paul says here in verse 3. Alright? He gives three marks of true believers, true Christians, true disciples. Three marks right here. Alright? This is it. Three marks. He said, now we are the circumcision. We are the true people of God. Circumcision was just a mark or a sign that they were God's people. Okay? We are the true circumcision. The true people of God, he said. All right, number one, which worship God in the Spirit. We worship God in the Spirit. Or that is, from the heart. With the aid of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Scripture say God is not worshipped with men's hands? What characterizes worship, so-called worship today, in 20th century religion, huh? It's just more and more and more and more of this. What? Flesh. The true people of God worship God from the heart, in spirit. And our Lord said, in truth, didn't he? In spirit and in truth. You can't worship God apart from the gospel. Right? In truth. Christ is truth. You can't worship God. You can't speak to God. You won't be speaking to by God. You can't come into God's presence apart from Christ, apart from the gospel, without blood. You can't worship God outside the truth. Nobody in America is worshiping God if the gospel is not being preached. Right? And the more gospel you got, the less all this stuff you got. I love to think about this. Our Lord said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. An outward show. Now, doesn't that characterize today? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. We said no sign will be given except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. But David said now, David prayed in Psalm 119. He said, open my eyes. Open my eyes that I might behold, or that I might see, that I might see and behold wondrous things from thy law, from thy word. See, the world's going after things, sight. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Where's faith come from? The Word. And David and all the sons of God, people after God's own heart, they get excited about the Word. They worship God through the Word. And read the next line. Here's the next thing. All right? He's already told us this, hasn't he? Worship God in spirit. The true believers, true people of God, don't need all this outward stuff. Don't need all this outward stuff. Don't have crosses and all that. Why? We don't worship a piece of wood. We don't worship a cross. Do you remember when, who was it that found that brazen serpent? Hezekiah, one of those old fellows, found the brazen serpent that was, you know. And the people, somebody found it, and the people were worshiping that thing. Remember? You remember that story? The people were worshiping that thing. Oh my, Moses had this. A religious relic. Kind of like the Shroud of Turin or the Ark, Noah's Ark or something that they've been trying to find all those years, you know. Well, in the Scriptures, it says they actually found that brazen serpent. You know what that fellow, who was it that did that? Somebody, help me. I forget. Doesn't matter, does it? He was God's man. True man. You know what he did? He ground that thing to powder. Stood on the ground and stomped on it. He said, Nehushtan, Nehushtan. That's what he called it. Nehushtan. What does that mean? A worthless piece of brass. That's what he called it. We don't worship crosses, pictures of Wild Bill Hickok. We worship a living Lord, a person. Someone said the less you have on the inside, the more you have to have on the outside. The more Christ you have on the inside, you don't need nothing at all but Christ crucified, right? You don't need, as a matter of fact, all that just obscures him, doesn't it? Get that out of here. Preacher, get out from behind that. Take that thing off. You don't look like a man, you look like a woman. Worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's the second sign. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. Not their works. Not their profession of religion, not their denomination, not their church, but in Christ. They worship, they rejoice in Christ. They rejoice in Him, who He is. They can't get enough of being told who He is and what He's done, His person and His work. Oh, if you really love somebody, you never get tired of hearing about them. Right? They rejoice in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, he says they have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. They place no confidence at all in anything that has to do with this flesh. We love that hymn by John Newton, is it? Feelings come, feelings go. Martin Luther wrote that. Martin Luther wrote that. Feelings come, feelings go, feelings are deceiving. He said, my hope is in the Son of God. Nothing and no one else is worth believing. Feelings. That characterizes religion today. Everybody's looking for a feeling, aren't they? Some new feeling, a good feeling. Drugs will give you a feeling. Right? Drugs will give you a feeling. And most people that have had some kind of religious experience, you know, is all based on feeling. They played the organ while the organ played softly. You remember me telling you about that play that Hannah and I went to the other day? And while these women were giving their impassioned performances, you know, behind them, you know what was going on while they were doing it? Soft music. Play on your emotions. It's a racket now. They know. They manipulate. Soft music. Now, don't anybody move, you know. And people get just overcome with emotion. Emotion, feeling. And they run down the aisle crying, you know. And they kneel down at the mourner's bench. And something happened. Something happened. You'll ask them later on, what did the preacher preach? They say, I don't have the foggiest notion. But I felt something. That's what you're basing your salvation on? You felt something? Yeah, it happened. It's real. I know it's real. Something happened, all right. Doesn't mean God did it. Doesn't mean it's of God. Matter of fact, I know it's not if the gospel wasn't there. If Christ wasn't preached, I know God's Spirit wasn't in it. Right? Feelings. People's salvation is to trust Jesus Christ. Period. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but wholly lean on the Lord Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me. You know, what about when the feelings go? What about when I'm not feeling real religious? Am I lost? You mean if I feel real religious, I'm saved? If I don't feel religious, I'm lost? Is that it? If I have great faith, I'm saved. If I don't, I'm lost. Is that it? No! Christ sits at the right hand of God interceding for me. Therefore, I'm saved no matter what I feel. No confidence in the flesh. None whatsoever. And don't put any confidence in people. People. Don't lean on the arm of the flesh. He warns us over and over again. Oh, don't do it. All your confidence is in Christ. All right, let's read on. So, and Paul says, now, they have a lot of confidence in their flesh. And he said, if anybody were to, could have some confidence in their flesh, Paul says, I'm more. I could have a whole lot more confidence than anybody. Read it here. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now here's his genealogy here, verse 5. I circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. And not a person in America today that could trace their genealogy back to Israel. The tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Jew, he said, through and through. One of God's people. Read on. He said, a Hebrew of Hebrews. My daddy was a Hebrew. My daddy's daddy was a Hebrew. My daddy's daddy's daddy was a Hebrew. I can trace my lineage back to Abraham. I'm a Hebrew. Some like to say I'm a Baptist. And I can trace my, you know, baptism all the way back to John. You know that there are people that you know that saying? Yes, sir. Landmark Baptist, they're called. They believe that you need to be able to trace your lineage all the way back to John the Baptist. But you had to have been baptized by a Baptist who was a Baptist, a Baptist, a Baptist from John the Baptist. You believe that? It's so. Well, Paul's bragging here like a fool. He says, I'm Hebrew, Hebrew. Read on. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. as touching the law? Oh, he said, I could quote it. Pharisee. I had a doctorate. I had one of those D-days, he said. Paul said, I had one of those D-days. Oh, it was another D. It should be there. Don't. That's what Paul called it. I'll read on here. It says in verse 6, concerning zeal, oh, there's lots of people zealous for what they believe. He said, I went out and just absolutely laid hold on people and put them in jail. Talking about zealous, winning people for Jesus. He said, I put them in jail. That's zealous, isn't it? Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul was one of these fellows, Deborah, that if you saw him come, you could smell him a mile away. You could smell his self-righteousness a mile away. Ooh. You know, one of these holier than thou, never sinned. Born a Christian. That's him. But blameless. But, he said, but what things used to be gain to me? And you know, there's great gain in religion. Oh, yes, sir. More money in religion now than ever. Well, Terry Bradshaw. You remember the quarterback Terry Bradshaw? You remember? No. Remember when he dabbled in religious music for a while? He actually said that. He said that there's lots of money to be made in religious music. There is this great gain to be had. Great gain. Great gain, he said. What things were... And Paul moved right on up the religious ladder and corporate ladder. But he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. That was all a waste of time. All my past was a waste of time. Loss, read on. Yea, doubtless, without a doubt, I count all things but loss. Worthless, useless, a waste of time. Since I've come to know and had revealed to me the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. All these programs, all these social things, all these agendas, all these topics, all these, you know, loss, waste of time since I've heard Christ, since I've seen Him. Excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom, he said, I've suffered the loss of all things. I'll tell you what, if a man is up in the ranks of religion and the God reveals the gospel to him, he'll lose all that. He'll lose all that. Like Brother Greg Elmquist, you know. Big-time pastor of a big-time church, so to speak, you know. Over $1 million worth of property. Hundreds and hundreds of people in attendance, and God revealed the gospel to him. Now he's meeting in a hotel room. Lost his $75,000 a year salary in his parsonage, and his paid-for car. He's driving a 19, what is it he drives? A little boy, piece of junk. I don't know what it is, but he bought it wrecked and built it. Suffered the loss of all things. But what did he say here? Oh, it's just dung anyway. Just count it for dung that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Pretty good trade, if you ask me. Dung for pearls. Would you trade in a pile of manure for a pearl? Any day. Want some woman. You remember that, don't you? Some woman said to me after the message, said, oh, but you forgot to say how much we have to give up for Christ. I said, you mean dung? You want me to talk a little bit about dung? For pearls? that I may win Christ. Christ is the prize. According to how you see the prize, it's what it's worth. Right? Paul said, I have one thing I want. Didn't David say that? One thing have I desired. And that's what I want to seek after. The beauty of the Lord. Read on. And be found in Him. Oh, in that day. In that day of judgment, when all stand before the all-seeing eye of God who looks right through to the soul, I want to be wearing something. Don't you? Huh? I want to be wearing something that He can't see through. That righteous robe of Christ. Don't you? Not having mine own righteousness, He said, which is of the law, my works that He sees right through, the evil motive, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, which God puts on us, that Christ worked out and simply gives it to us by faith. By faith, like Abraham. Oh, Paul said that I may know Him. That I may know Him. I want to know Him better. I want to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And He says, in the power of His resurrection. What it meant when it says in Hebrews that He delivered them who all their lifetime were subject to this fear of death. He said, I've come back from the grave. Don't be afraid. And read on, and the fellowship of His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. Brother Greg, I'll bring him up again. And I'll hurry. He said, you know, out of all those hundreds and maybe even thousands of people that we used to meet together with and all that, he said, I used to get so sick of all the phoniness and all the outward pious talk and religious, when you knew, you know, smiling, I love you, brother, and they didn't mean a word of it. You know, all that put on stuff, phoniness. He said, when the Lord revealed the gospel to me and I met true believers, everybody was real, he said. He said, you know, the truth that has set you free, to freedom of worship. Not so concerned about all this. And you know, and people that have gone through tribulation together, now they can fellowship together. Right? Everybody in here, any believer, every believer who comes to know the gospel suffers persecution for it. You go where you work or you go to your family and you tell them the truth, the gospel, and they get angry at you and they fight you. They fight against it and all that. And you feel this alienation, this persecution. But then when you come to the family of God, John, then you come to those who have suffered the same persecution, the fellowship of His suffering. And it is sweet, isn't it? Huh? It's sweet. And being made conformable unto His death. Oh my. I want to be like Christ. Made conformable unto His death. Read on. And I'll close. And he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. That old song we used to sing when the roll is called up yonder. You know. Well, I don't know if they're going to call a roll. I don't know that. I don't know where they got that. But if it is, I want to be found under the letter C. Don't you? If they did call my name, I want the Lord Jesus Christ to say, here, for me. Don't you? If by any means, I want to attain unto the resurrection. I want to be in that moment. I really do. When the roll is called, I want to be there, found in Christ. Read on. Not as he said, it's not as though I had already attained. That's the reason I'm talking like this, he said. I'm not already there yet. I'm not already perfect, but this is what I do. This one thing I do. I follow after. I'm a follower, a disciple of Christ. He said, if that I may apprehend, I want to lay hold. There it is again, right? I want to lay hold on that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. This gospel has laid hold on me. And boy, I want to lay hold on it and hold fast the beginning of my confidence. Steadfast to the end. Why are we in Christ? Why is anybody in Christ? Because they were apprehended. That's the whole message in itself. They were apprehended. Almighty love, arrest that man. That's their salvation. That criminal, that thief, that robber, arrest him. Arrest him. Apprehend him of Jesus Christ. Brethren, read on. I count not myself to have apprehended. Not there yet, but this is what I do. This one thing. This is the one thing that I truly want. Forgetting those things which are behind, forget yesterday's religion, forget your baptism, forget your profession of faith. As I've said before, if you've got your baptism written in your Bible, scribble it out. Don't trust that. Put no confidence in that profession, but in the person. And he said, I forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. What things, Paul? Well, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. And here it is. Here's the prize. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling of God. Some of you men are hunters, aren't you? You look through that scope. If you're a real hunter, you wouldn't have a scope. But some of you do. And look through, and you've got the crosshairs. You've got that animal in the crosshairs or looking down the bead. And well, you've got a mark on that thing, don't you? You set that thing on the mark, and you said, that is what I want. You wait, or you press, or you stalk, or whatever. That's what you want. And Paul said, he's who I want. That's the mark. And so I'm pressing. Salvation's a pressing matter. Salvation's a pressing matter. Our Lord said, since John and the prophets, the gospel of the kingdom has been preached, and men press into it. Press into it. Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, he said, the violent take it by force. Like that woman with the issue of blood. She ended up to the point, Brother Joe, where all she could do was crawl. She said, I gotta get to him. I gotta get to him. I've tried everything that's failed. I gotta get to Christ. He's the only one that can help me. And she crawled through that mass and laid hold on the hem of his garment. It's a pressing matter. Salvation is a pressing matter. It's not a almost persuaded. It's a not tomorrow I'll do it. It's today. It's a pressing matter. It's a pressing matter. Oh, this prize of the high calling. You see the prize, you'll press. See the prize, you'll press. So he says, in closing, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, or have this knowledge. God has put the knowledge of the truth in you, who Christ is, and your desperate need of Him. Be thus minded, single-minded, Christ-minded, Christ on your mind. Be thus minded. And if in anything, if there's anything that's taken you away, or what, if in anything you be otherwise minded, oh, may God reveal this unto you. May He put Christ in your sight. Christ as your mark. Christ in the crosshairs. Please pray. Not there yet. Not there yet. Perfect. Not there yet. All right. Stand with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious book that arrests our hearts, our minds. we do pray that that's what you do with it, that you'll take this word, and if in anything we be otherwise minded, you, O God, might reveal it unto us, and truly set our affection on things above, where Christ sits. This is our prayer, and we do, and we pray all that's been said and done for your glory and for the good of your people. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.